Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson, and I am here today with Jen. Let me let you tell your last name.
It's Papa Constantino.
See, I always say it right, but you make it sound so much better.
Thank you. My maiden name was worse anyway, so.
What was your maiden name?
Von Engelbrechten. That's like the Canadian version. Yeah. So if you say it like with the proper German phonetics, it sounds better. It's von Engelbrechten.
Oh, wow.
It's impossible to say, impossible to spell, same amount of letters.
Oh my gosh. Well, that just totally threw me for a loop. I've known you for how long and I didn't know that.
That's okay.
So
it's not something I broadcast.
Well, why not? It sounds so cultural and fancy. Both your last names do. Okay, so Jen is here today. Jen's a certified nutritional practitioner. She runs a super successful practice just outside of Toronto, Canada, called Heal Naturally. We'll be talking all about that later on. But she also is one of our instructors on our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Program, which is amazing. And I wanted to bring you on today to talk about something that has been coming up a lot lately. I don't know, and maybe just in my life, but with people I know, with clients, emails I'm getting from women. And it's this whole concept of the topic of IBS. So I'm like, I need to bring on someone who's an expert. And that's why I contacted you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, you're an expert in so many areas and I always love talking to you. So I'm like, Let's bring in the big guns.
Thanks.
Okay, so before we jump into talking about IBS and all about what that entails, I just want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know there's some people who might have heard my interviews with you before. We have some other podcast interviews about hormones and about, what else did we talk about?
I don't know. We've had a few fun topics, actually.
Yeah.
Blood sugar.
Blood sugar. And there was another one. You were also on our Transformation Summit too. But I would love for you to just kind of give a background, how you ended up in this industry. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been in the industry. Oh my goodness. Well, I've been practicing like a holistic lifestyle for 21 years. And so it was like my own daughter's health journey. So she's turning 25 next month, if you can believe it. She's my oldest of four. And so it was actually her that kind of forced us down this road into holistic health. Like many people, you know, the medical system failed us greatly, unfortunately. And they weren't able to offer us any lasting solutions or any solutions at all whatsoever. And so 13 years ago, I went back to school and that's where we met. So the course that I graduated at from the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, which is a private college, I'm now an instructor there. So I teach many of the courses in the core curriculum. So one of them is called Fundamentals of Nutrition. The other one is called Nutrition Through the Lifespan. I've taught professional practice, professional skills, comparative diets.
Symptomatology.
Yeah, that's my baby. So for the last 8 years, I've been teaching symptomatology, which is essentially clinical nutrition. So it's basically how to bring all this nutritional concepts into like a clinical practice and apply it on a day-to-day basis with the client. So that course is always really exciting to teach. On top of that, I also am assistant instructor and student liaison at the Edison Institute of Nutrition. So I've been working there also very successfully for about almost 10 years. Aside from that, I also am a Quantum Science Summit certified instructor as well. And so this is just a modality. I did my training originally in the US. It's new to Canada. And so I spend my weekends either teaching or doing trade shows or and I spend my days teaching. And then in between all that, I do clinical practice, which is my own private practice. So I have clients worldwide online, as well as clients, obviously, in the GTA, in the Greater Toronto Area, that come into clinic. And so I offer a few different modalities and basically holistic solutions. My favorite is uncovering the root cause and just digging really deep into the past health history, into the body, into the inner workings of the body, of the physiology and biochemistry, and finding out the reason why people are sick. And so that's kind of my forte. So people ask, do I specialize? Yeah, I specialize. Yeah, no, people bring things into me and they say, well, I have this, you know, what's my course of action? And my job is to find out why. Like, it's not just a matter of, yeah, take more vitamin D or take more vitamin C. It's, you know, why do they need vitamin D? Why do they need vitamin C? Why do they need these orthomolecular dosages, and really getting to the root of the issue? Yeah. So some people leave my office with, you know, they got to go to the holistic dentist and get their teeth fixed. And some people, because that's what's causing their issue. And some people leave my office and they have more of an emotional, spiritual protocol, right? And dealing with some underlying issues that way. And some people leave my office and it actually is nutritional. And so there's just like all different reasons for, and sometimes they're quite shocked when we uncover, you know, what's actually causing them angst or dis-ease. And, you know, they leave kind of like deer in the headlights. Like, I can't believe that's what she told me. I wasn't expecting that, but it makes perfect sense now that she's organized it. So that's kind of what I like to do, is I like to get into the down and dirty and the grit of it all.
Well, that's why I always end up coming to you for such, you know, an array of topics, because you're so knowledgeable in so many different areas. Whereas, like, for example, I'd interview, you know, a certain gut health specialist about probiotics, but I'll come to you on like gut health. I'll come to you about IBS. I'll come to talk to you about hormonal issues. I'll come talk to you about emotional issues.
Right.
So many different things that you're so versed in. And I just always love having you on, because you bring such like a
Thanks. I do have to say, like, this holistic health and nutrition is my entire life. If I'm not teaching, I'm learning. I'm in bed, like, researching topics, doing seminars, webinars. Like, I'm totally just immersed. I'll do, like, just listen to a webinar or a podcast, like driving my daughter to cheerleading or something like that, you know, which is an hour each way. And then sometimes I just need to shut my brain down, because I'm always just like reading and learning. I just need to bebop to music.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to have fun in the car this time instead of just learning. I gotta process what I just learned this weekend, or whatever the case may be.
Well, and you're very gifted too, because you not only have the knowledge in your mind, you know how to communicate it really well in ways that people can apply. So we're going to be talking afterwards about how people can get in contact with you if they're looking for a holistic nutritionist to get a consultation to figure out what the root causes of their health issues. But today, we're going to dive into the topic of IBS.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so I'm going to let you take it away. What is IBS? Because so many people don't even know what it is. I actually, till I took nutrition school, I didn't even know what it was.
Right. So here's the thing. IBS is like, it's a catch-all term that really doesn't describe much of anything besides the fact that people who suffer from this, it's not a disease, it's a condition or a syndrome, right? And so it's just basically people who suffer from either diarrhea or constipation or a little bit of both. Again, it's just this catch-all phrase, kind of like when you see the word dermatitis. That just means skin inflammation. It's just a catch-all phrase to basically classify anything that would be considered inflammation of the skin. IBS is basically irritability of the bowel. It doesn't address why this is going on. It doesn't address where it's coming from. And it doesn't really address much, with the exception of, you know, just, it's not even really a diagnosis, because, you know, it doesn't give anyone a course of action. There's no medication for it. There's no basically any type of strategy to address it, because it's like a flip-flop of, oh my gosh, today I'm constipated. Tomorrow I might be able to go to the bathroom. The next day I might have exploding bowels. And then the next day I don't know what's going to happen. And so where do you go from there? You know, it really actually just causes a loss for most people because well, they're like, okay, I have IBS. Now what do I do?
Yeah. And that's why I really wanted to have you on talking about this because like within our Fitchix Academy, we're having a lot of students who are asking that question to me and being like, you know, I have clients who have IBS and they're like, I don't even know where to start. We're going to talk about some strategies, dietary strategies and things like that. But it's such a hard thing because like you don't even really know, like there's no clear diagnosis as to what it is. Like you said, like it's just an irritable bowel syndrome. And now right. we're seeing all these commercials that are saying, do you have IBS? Take this pill. What's the one? Align? Is that one of them? There's one.
Yeah, but Align's a probiotic.
Yeah, like if we don't know what is going on, is that really going to help the situation?
No, exactly. So, you know, it doesn't offer any type of strategy whatsoever. And it doesn't offer any type of course of action whatsoever. So, yeah. And that's why people are so at a loss and they're like, okay, I have IBS. Now what?
Well, yeah. And so this is where my next question is for you. A lot of people then say, well, is IBS the same as things like Crohn's or colitis? So what, if you could just talk about the differences between IBS versus some of those other.
IBS falls under this category of irritable bowel disease, which is IBD.
Okay.
However, here's the difference. So Crohn's and colitis are both considered autoimmune conditions, which means that for whatever reason whatsoever, and there's multiple different reasons for it, the body starts attacking, or the immune system rather, starts attacking the small intestine and the large intestine. Okay. And the colon and the gut. And so for Crohn's and colitis, there is actually a tissue measure, which means medically they can go in with a scope or a scan and they can actually see ulcerations, bleeding, you know, they can see what's coming down the pipe on that. Now, the problem with IBS is that there's no tissue measure. So you can go for an endoscopy and they're sending scopes down the top end, and you can go for a colonoscopy and they're sending scopes up the other end and they don't see anything. Okay. And so the problem with IBS, again, it's this catch-all phrase that really describes not much of anything. And it doesn't even show up on a medical scan where to the point where you know, doctors are saying, well, I don't see anything. And I've seen this happen over and over again. And they'll say, you know, this possibly could be in your head, you know, meaning there's probably something wrong with you. You're just, you know, you're one of those people who thinks that everything's wrong with them. And I have to tell you, they're offered, these sufferers of this, are offered antidepressants. Because it has to do with you're depressed and you're irritable and there's some type of brain chemistry wrong with you because we can't find anything and you just keep coming in here complaining about the same thing over and over again. We've done all our scopes, blood work's normal, scans are normal, scopes are normal. So here's an antidepressant for you. Be on your merry way. Please don't bother with us again.
Oh, God.
Whereas Crohn's and colitis, there's actually like a tissue measure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and one is very superficial and one is very deep within the tissue. One can happen from mouth to anus and the other one is only in the colon. So colitis is only in the colon. Crohn's can happen anywhere from the mouth to the anus. And they are autoimmune. So there's this big kind of difference with the classification of this. And again, we're going back to, well, what's wrong with you? Because it's possibly in your head. You know, you just now have Munchausen's disease where you think you have every disease going on because we can't find anything medically.
Ugh. This is why, again, I like talking about this stuff because there's a lot of people out there who are listening and saying, you know, that's me. Like, that's actually me. That's what's happening.
Oh yeah. That happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm on an antidepressant now because of this. Like, it's not a right. It's not a right because they haven't addressed any part of the issue whatsoever.
So then, okay, if you're someone who has, like, this is you, you know, you're having this going between, or maybe, well, actually, sorry, I'm going to ask you one question first. So you were saying going between, like, diarrhea and constipation.
Right.
If you're just constipated, is that IBS? Or is it usually that swing between?
It's usually a swing. However, if somebody's not tracking their poops, mm-hmm. and you know, so here's the thing: if you're constipated, sometimes the body, in order to compensate, will do a flush, kind of like you have the flu. And again, these people might think, oh, did I just eat something wrong? You know, is this a food reaction? Is this, you know, and so it usually is a swing, but you know, IBS, sometimes I've seen it classified medically as just someone who has chronic constipation. Oh, you have IBS. Well, that's not really IBS. That's constipation. And then what are they offered? They're offered a laxative. Okay. So like Restorilax or, you know, some of these pharmaceuticals, magnesium oxide, just go to the pharmacy, you know, pick up something, drink it when you're constipated, you'll be okay. And the thing is, a lot of these laxatives are habit forming, which means your bowel starts to rely, mm-hmm. unfortunately, on the use of these. And then you get lazy. So your bowel's not even going to work without it. And that's not the strategy that we want to offer people either, you know.
Well, and this is something I found interesting. I was reading that laxatives are like one of, I think it's the top two or top three selling over-the-counter drugs in all of the United States.
Yeah, they're very widely misused, and people can't poop. And then, you know, people have the opposite. They poop too much. And certainly digestive medications, not just that. I mean, like even like Tums and Rolaids and Gaviscon and Pepto-Bismol and all of those are, they're like all blockbuster, you know, like just people are going there trying to find strategies that are going to help them. And they don't have anything natural. They don't understand their digestive system, because unless you've taken like advanced anatomy and physiology, you don't get this information in school.
No, it was literally mind-blowing for me when I first started entering into this world, which, like, how much I took my poops for granted. And now I talk about poop all the time. But literally, I was like, you know, now I do, like, self-check. Like, I'm like, okay, what's going on with me? Sorry, my phone's going off. What's going on with me, like, whether it be emotionally, my diet, my stress levels, what's going on in my poop. Like if I haven't gone to the bathroom in 3 days, I'm more prone to constipation. Sorry, people, to TMI.
But, TMI.
Well, amongst the nutrition world, it's like everyday convo.
It is. My best friend's a colon hydrotherapist. I call her my shitty friend.
Oh, God.
And we exchange stories all the time. I'm like, so what crappy story do you have for me today? Yeah, exactly. So,
but once I got into this world and I started paying attention, it's like, it's amazing how much you, like how much control you actually have or how much information you can gather yourself about what's going on if you just start to pay attention. Like when we started learning about the Bristol stool chart, which we also talk about, you teach this in our holistic nutrition weight loss expert, showing what the perfect poop looks like. Like so many people were mind blown just thinking, well, it's just poop, not knowing that like they were like a number one.
Which no, we all strive for perfect poops. Number three.
Oh my God, now it's like
three and four.
Yeah, it's like a dream.
Three and four on the Bristol stool chart.
The soft snake.
Sorry.
Sorry, people. Everyone's like, why am I listening to this podcast?
Because we're sick and twisted like that. We love it.
Yeah, and just wait till you get addicted. Then you're going to be like, I got to check what mine is on the chart. Okay, but when we're speaking, mostly about IBS, it is definitely that swing to that more diarrhea.
For most people, absolutely. Back and forth.
What are some of the health issues then if this goes undealt with?
Well, I mean, you know, Dr. Bernard Jensen, in his work as a holistic practitioner and a chiropractor, and he wrote that crazy bowel book that, you know, we have in school, the Dr. Bernard Jensen's Guide to Better Bowel Care.
Some of the pictures in there blew my mind.
Right. You can look them up online. But, you know, he was known as the bowel man, and his famous quote was, death begins in the colon. So, you know, the problem is if you don't poop, you become intoxicated from the inside. So, I mean, in some of our courses, you know, in FNE and the nutrition weight loss expert, we talk about reducing your toxic load and the barrel effect, right? And so you can clean up your body products and your beauty products and your household cleaning products. And, you know, you can get a HEPA filter on your furnace, but if you don't poop, that's like missing the garbage truck. And you know what happens when you miss the garbage truck? You're like, oh, he went by already and he doesn't come for like once every 2 weeks. What am I going to do with this garbage? And then vermin come and you've got raccoons hanging out at your, you know, your back of your house because they know they smell it. And they're like, yeah, there's something good in there, you know, and little yeah. bugs form and then bigger bugs come. And then, and so you think of that happening in your colon. So, you know, there's two different types of constipation. There's one where the fecal matter is too hard and it's just very difficult to pass, or the fecal matter becomes impacted like glue and it starts sticking to the inside of the bowel walls. And actually that's the worst kind because that stuff just rots and ferments and off gases, and it creates really weird insidious chemicals in the bodies like ammonia, indole, scatoles, you know, and so this will auto-intoxicate the body. And there's this like paradoxical reaction that happens with dirty bowels and every other organ in the body. And this was actually discovered by a British physician named Sir Arbuthnot Lane, who was not only a world-renowned bowel doctor, but he was also a physician to the royal family.
Oh, wow.
And what he discovered was that there is something called a neural arc reflex. And this neural arc reflex, what they have found is that every part of the bowel actually has a reflex condition to a part of the body. And so the way he discovered this was, as a world-renowned bowel doctor, you know, he would do surgery on somebody's bowels and remove a sick part of their bowel and then have them back for their follow-up in 6 weeks, make sure the surgery went well and they're healing fine. And then he started documenting that seemingly unrelated health conditions would resolve. So, you know, he would operate on somebody's bowel and this woman had a 30-year chronic thyroid problem that would just go away on its own. And so what he discovered was that if you have a sick part of the bowel, it has actually has a reflex toxicity component to that part of the body. So you think there's a part of the bowel that's connected to the eyes, like, and this has to do a lot with not just the nervous system, but also the Chinese meridians. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of the bowel that has to do with the hair, and there's part of the bowel that has to do with each vertebrae, and there's part of the bowel that has to do with the thyroid and the adrenals and the stomach and the liver and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then you think about, also, if you miss that garbage truck, who has to clean up that mess? Is who filters the blood? Is the liver and the kidneys and the lymph? Because those are three systems that are the body's waste management system. And so those systems become backed up almost like, you know, backup sewage. And now we've even have a bigger problem. So that's the problem with chronic constipation. And then you swing that pendulum to the other side. And what's a problem with chronic diarrhea? Well, we have a digestive process, and each part of the digestive process is supposed to take a specific amount of time. So obviously chewing is quick, swallowing is quick. Food is supposed to be mixed in the stomach for about 2 to 3 hours. Without that time in there and that mechanism, what happens is our food doesn't get bathed in stomach acid, and we need this acid to kill bugs. We need this acid to digest protein. We need this acid to split the minerals out of their bound form. And, you know, we need this acid to sterilize all this food stuff. And then, you know, we have this process in the small intestine where food is supposed to stay in there at least 5 to 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And then we have the large intestine. Now you think if that's happening too fast, watch the garbage truck just run by your house, right?
Yeah.
And so now you have problems with multiple nutritional deficiencies. How do you get the nutrients out of your food when it's just going through you like, you know, like a rat race?
Mm-hmm.
So now you become vitamin deficient, you become mineral deficient, you become protein deficient, you become fat deficient, because all of this is just running through you too quickly. And all of a sudden your body was like, ah, there goes vitamin A. I needed that, you know, I need that nutrient. And it's just going through. So you become multiple nutritional deficiencies as an issue there. And, you know, hydration, So obviously if you have diarrhea and the stool's too watery, water's just coming flowing through you, and then you become chronically dehydrated. And I mean, this isn't dehydration, obviously, that's clinical where you need an IV, but it's just like low grade chronic dehydration.
Well, and people don't realize the after effects of being chronically dehydrated.
Oh, certainly. Like, yeah.
Most people are operating at that level of being like not being hydrated enough all the time.
Speaking of my water.
I know. I was just looking. I'm like, I had, here's my empty green smoothie glass that I had my afternoon smoothie in. And now I'm like, shoot, my water bottle's in the other room.
You can chug after.
Exactly.
So, you know, so you think about the long-term effects of not dealing with this syndrome properly, mm-hmm. Can actually be far-reaching and can cause a myriad of other health issues that sometimes people wouldn't even relate back to the fact that they have IBS, you know, and can it, the IBS have caused it? Absolutely. But do you connect the dots? You know what I mean?
Because sometimes it's the IBS and then these other issues don't show up for years down the road. And
certainly, like, certainly.
It's forever. Now this just showed up, but not really. It was progressive.
Again, death begins in the colon, right?
Yeah. And one thing that I know that a lot of people always complain about to me is that with IBS is constant bloating, like constant bloating discomfort. And that's something too, that these food marketers and these healthy quote unquote nutrition marketers are putting out as like, this is like when they're putting out these pills and different drinks and mixes and all this fake stuff that we see, it's almost like, oh, are you bloated because of IBS? Take this, drink this. Whereas, you know, really what's causing that bloating?
Right. So again, you go back to the medical paradigm, take this for this. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're just alleviating the symptoms. So just because you alleviate bloating doesn't mean that the IBS isn't there.
Yeah.
And so you definitely want to deal with kind of the root of the issue.
And what do you think though, is the bloating when it comes to IBS, is it just water retention? Is it because there is, the bacterias are going crazy in there and causing bloating? Like what, I mean, obviously it could be.
Well, that kind of brings us to like some of the reasons why there might be an issue with IBS. So why don't we talk about that first, just so we can talk about maybe what the strategies would be thereafter.
Let's do it.
So, you know, now there's a direct effect with brain chemistry and mood and stress levels and how the digestive system is functioning. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that everybody has had, you know, like some type of stressful event where their bowel movements have changed. I'm sure everyone has traveled, you know, where they go to maybe a hotel or they go away for the weekend and all of a sudden their bowels are like freaked out. Like, this isn't my toilet. This isn't my environment.
Oh my gosh. My poor mom. Sorry, mom. I'm calling this out. That's what she always says. She's like, as soon as I get to a hotel, it's like everything does is close for business. It's like a body nose.
Close for business. That's right.
Foreign toilet. Not
right. So, you know, there's this direct effect with our stress levels, our comfort levels, and IBS. So I always find that there may be for a lot of people a nervous system connection, where the body may be stuck in a fight or flight response rather than a rest and digest response. And the fight or flight response and the rest and digest response are governed by the autonomic nervous system. And so if anyone doesn't know what that is, the autonomic nervous system governs everything in the body that doesn't require thought. So blinking and salivating and your heart beating and digesting. Okay. And this autonomic response, we should be able, like a light switch, to switch from the on switch, which is fight or flight, which, you know, during the day, you're on, okay? You got work, you got to get to work, you're in traffic, you're running around, you have deadlines at work, your kids need new boots, and, you know, you got to call the teacher, and whatever the case may be, you know, oh, you got to call your mother too, and, oh, I have to stop at the grocery store, so on. And then when you come home and, you know, you've got dinner on the table and you sit down, you think about your day and you're relaxing, chatting with family, how was your day, blah, blah, blah. You go into this like rest and digest mode. So on, off, like a switch. So that's how the autonomic system works. And I find that a lot of people with IBS, they're always on. Which means that it's almost like that light switch got jammed, okay? And here's the thing, you can't be in both at the same time. I can turn this light down behind me, but I can't and I can turn it off or I can turn it on. But even if I turn it down, it's still on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who have IBS are kind of, they're jammed in this on position. And, you know, this has a lot to do with mineralization of the body and pH. Mm-hmm. And pH stands for potentiated hydrogen. And it is basically a demineralization of the body. It has a lot to do with the loss of buffers. So calcium, magnesium, potassium, phosphorus is another one, things like that. And so that is pH dependent. I did talk about this in, I think, the weight loss expert, where when you're stuck in and your body's pH is off, which means you're thriving on acid as opposed to thriving on minerals, mm-hmm. It creates a phenomenon known as sympathicotonia. And sympathicotonia, again, when you're stuck in this on position, it puts your body at the cellular level into lockdown. So picture a building going into lockdown. What happens? A crime happens. They put everything in lockdown within a, you know, a two block radius. And this lockdown, or known as sympathicotonia, nobody gets in, nobody gets out. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of sounds like IBS, right? So number one, we gotta adjust pH. Okay. So eating an alkaline diet, drinking some lemon water, providing some basic minerals in there. And that also then goes to supporting the stress response in the body. So this goes to adrenal function, this goes to thyroid function, and the entire hypothalamus pituitary axis. Mm-hmm. So very often actually offering the right type of adrenal support. So for some people, this could be glandular. For some people, this could be adaptogens. Actually just pulls them right out of this fight or flight response and it gets them going to the bathroom. Now, sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes it's not.
Sorry to interrupt you, but just for anyone listening, if they're like, whoa, taking notes. So that's just when you're talking about adrenal supports or adaptogens. Those, they can just get those at their health food store, go in and ask for different versions. Is there ones you like?
Is there ones I like?
Yeah.
It depends on the person, but yeah. One of the best adaptogens is actually made right in here in Canada. It is called, oh gosh, Stressed with a T, S-T-R-E-S-T, Stressed. That's a formula made by St. Francis Herbs.
Okay.
It's wonderful. And I mean, if you're listening to this and you're from another country, adaptogenic herbs, rhodiola, ashwagandha, reishi mushroom is an adaptogen. Cordyceps mushroom is another adaptogen. Damiana. So there's multiple different types of adaptogens that you can use. And they have good formulas out there. Okay. Yeah. And sometimes it's just called an adaptogenic formula, and it can be something as simple as that, or you can just go get a broad spectrum adrenal support formula. And that's usually where I would start.
Yeah.
Because, and then what we understand, what we now know is that turning on that switch really helps with addressing a lot of digestive deficiencies. So if you support the stress response, very often you can increase stomach acid. And IBS can be a deficiency in hydrochloric acid. It's a condition called hypochlorhydria, and it's where you're not producing the correct amount, so quality and quantity of stomach acid. And so what people need to realize, and again, I think I went in this in our course material, is that digestion goes from mouth to south.
Mm.
And even though IBS is an issue with the south end of the digestive system, if you don't deal with, number one, the driver of digestion, which is the autonomic nervous system, and then the north end of digestion, you don't have a chance. You can take all the probiotics in the world and all the enzymes, and that won't fix you. So you have to support every step of the process of the digestive chain and basically fix what's broken.
Yeah.
So possible deficiencies in IBS is stomach acid. So I would always start there. And, you know, if you're not sure, you could do the apple cider vinegar test. because
I haven't done this one. I did the betaine test.
Yeah, so the betaine test is good, but apple cider vinegar, basically you take a shot, and if you get some reflux or some GERD, it probably indicates that either one of two things are going on. You have enough stomach acid and you're okay, and you probably just irritated it, or you've got some type of gastric inflammation, which would cause IBS. So that could be more than likely some type of bacterial overgrowth. An example would be Helicobacter pylori. Another example would be Candida albicans. And so, you know, you can do the apple cider vinegar test, or like you said, you can do the betaine challenge, where you actually go and you get a hydrochloric acid supplement called betaine HCL. And if anyone wants that, they can easily send me an email through my website. I'd be happy to provide them with that detail. But you're basically increasing your dose until you hit your threshold. And you'll know when you hit that threshold because you did the test. You get some heartburn going on. You're like, ooh, I took too many. Okay. And you could drink a little bit of either milk, or you could take a little bit of baking soda just to negate that effect. But once you hit your threshold, your dose per meal should be one less than that. So let's say on day four or day five, you hit your threshold at dinner time when you're taking the betaine challenge and you feel the burn, then your dose per meal would be four. And I do encourage, if someone's trying this at home and they don't have the direction of a practitioner, don't go more than eight in a meal, not in a day, in a meal.
Yeah, well, I realized very quickly when I did mine was that stomach acid was not an issue, and I was sure it was. I was sure it was. And I literally right away was like, I think I took like two pills and I was like, well, nope, I'm having a serious reaction to this. And I realized later on, after actually seeing you, a lot of it for my end was to do with liver function.
Right. So then we go to those three organs that sit under the stomach. You know, what could possibly go wrong from there is with that acid trigger in the stomach, we've got liver, gallbladder, pancreas. And so sometimes doing a liver cleanse and getting the liver all cleaned up can alleviate IBS. Sometimes doing a gallbladder cleanse, or just, again, putting back what's missing. If somebody doesn't have a gallbladder, okay. But they have a digestive organ that's been removed. Now they need to learn properly how to eat every meal with that bile trigger.
Yeah.
So somebody who's living without a gallbladder, very often they get IBS, and they know that, especially if they're going to eat a meal with higher fat, or they're going to put a couple scoops of coconut oil in their smoothie, or they're going to go out and eat fries and a burger, or they're going to have, you know, some guacamole, which is full of fat as well, they're going to have some IBS problems. Yeah. Okay. And they'll get greasy stool. You might see almost like a film floating on top of the toilet, almost like you spilled gasoline. So that is undigested fat. Mm-hmm. Their stool is either orange or yellow or not brown enough or gray. So these are just some classic things to look for if you have underfunctioning bile or gallbladder. And if you don't have a gallbladder at all, then go out, buy some bile salts. So this comes from an ox or a bear. And even if you're vegan or vegetarian, I'm sorry, there's no other way around this, because you have a digestive organ that's missing and you need to take bile salts at every meal. So supporting that, and then with that acid trigger under the stomach, you get proper pancreatic function, and the pancreas is full of enzymes and bicarbonate. And so now we've taken care of the north end of digestion. Okay. So now where people feel the effects of IBS is in the south end. So now you've chewed your food, you know, you've made sure you had stomach acid. Possibly the liver needed a good clean out. Possibly they need some gallbladder support. Possibly the pancreas is under functioning. But now we have the lower digestive system, and now we get into the small intestine and the stomach. And I'll tell you, if the north end of digestion is functioning, usually the south end purrs like the engine of a Porsche. Okay?
I have this visual now. I'm like, this is really kind of weird. But
yeah, like 9/11, Targa with a whale tail. You're just whipping down the highway, you know, going a mile a minute, and everything's good. However, we still might have an issue. And sometimes you need a good gut or bowel cleanse. And if digestion wasn't functioning properly, like the engine of a Porsche, you may have like some SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You may now have picked up some type of infection or bug, you know, in your travels with food. You may have taken in water that you didn't sterilize properly from, you know, going to a restaurant. You may have encountered mold. Yeah. You may have woken some of your own bugs up, because what we understand now is there was a massive worldwide study done called the Microbiome Project. And what we know now from this study of studying, you know, health history and dietary practices and stool samples is that unfortunately some of these our own body's bacteria can actually morph or change pathologically. And so if they're not babysat, or they're not kept in check by the good guys, or you've taken multiple rounds of antibiotics, or whatever the case may be, maybe you're eating too much gluten, maybe you drank too much alcohol, you know, maybe you didn't know about all this dietary stuff back in the day, and so your own body's bacteria can actually cause problems as well.
Oh my gosh. Which right now, that's the majority of people.
Yeah.
Majority of people.
Listen, I was raised on Captain Crunch and Lucky Charms and sugar cubes and Kool-Aid and Chewy Chips Ahoy and Kraft Singles and margarine. And I look back in the day, I was a child of the 70s. The 80s was the low-fat movement.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. And when you go low fat, you eat more carb. And so, you know, I look back at my diet. I didn't know. Oh, I was I was a teenager. I only knew what was on TV and what the commercials said. And, you know, I wasn't studying nutrition books.
Yeah. I thought it was better to eat bowls full of pasta with, you know, fat-free tomato sauce on it.
Oh.
Rather than having, you know, something that had fat in it, like, you know, eating just say like a chicken, even chicken like cooked in olive oil. I thought that was bad. I was like, oh no, I need to eat a massive bowl of pasta, which is just pure gluten and pure carbohydrate with some extra carbohydrate on it, and wonder why I'm hungry again in 10 minutes. And
and you need a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I can't work out. I ate too much. I'm in a pasta coma.
Yeah, I wasn't carving up for a marathon or anything. I was carving
and now
up.
we've come full swing. So where are we? We're in the keto diet era now, where it's like everyone's just hammering in the fat. Like, why can't we just eat a balanced diet? Why it's does so it have funny. To be so black and white? You know?
I know we're kind of, this is a little off topic, but I actually did a podcast a couple weeks ago, and that's what I was talking about, how it's so funny how like about every 10 years, one of the macronutrients takes over as like the fad diet. Like,
yeah,
this was like the low fat. Then in the 90s, when like Atkins was popular and kind of the paleo time.
Oh, protein.
Protein, protein, protein.
Oh my God. Sausage, cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, and now it's fat. And I'm like, why is it that one macronutrient always has to be the best? Like, why can't they all be equally as good?
Yeah, don't you remember the zone diet, which was like 40-30-30?
Yeah.
Do that.
I know.
You know, like, just be balanced. Why do you have to be on this crazy fat diet so far? Like, just balance it out, you know?
Yeah, and I just also think they're unrealistic, and they're also, I mean, still, there's not enough research out for longer term. I mean, now we're seeing the effects of the low fat.
Alzheimer's and what a mess.
So it's
sure.
Like, you know, when people are not doing keto, especially when they're not doing it properly, what are the long-term effects of that? And I'm curious to see what that is.
Give it 2 years. Then we'll know. Right.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah, fad diets. So now we get into the small intestine, and there possibly could be bugs in there now, but you can't worry about taking care of those until you take care of the north end.
Yeah, I like that, because a lot of people right away they're thinking now IBS.
Oh, I have candida. Yeah.
I can do that, or I should be taking a probiotic. I have.
Yeah, yeah. Or I've got a parasite or something like that. Yeah. Well, guess what? Why is it in there? Yeah. Because I could tell you, you could go on a candida diet and you could, oh, forever, 6 months, 9 months, you could do candida diet. And guess what? It just comes back again. And literally you're banging your head up a wall. Why am I hitting the wall with candida over and over again? Because you didn't address the north end of digestion, and there's still a chain in the link that's broken. And I'll tell you, if you don't digest food and you're putting all of this organic matter in a dark, warm, wet place, what's going to happen to it?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Open your compost bin after a week, and what does your compost bin look like? It's slimy.
Yeah.
It's fermented. It's wet. It's leaking. It's, you know, and what does that look like in the guts? Well, that's going to look like diarrhea. Okay. And what does that mass look like in the guts? It could look like constipation. So if you don't digest, you ferment. And if you continue this fermentation process, your guts and your bowels are going to be freaking out. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do with it. Okay. First of all, it could be very acidic. It could be a bath. It's creating all these weird gases, and there's your bloat. All right. So this is where the fermentation comes in. And again, using the analogy of like the Porsche, you know, should you be farting and burping and all this gas coming out? Well, I'll tell you, if you go and drive your car off a lot and it starts backfiring, everyone's going to be turning that car around and going, I want a refund.
Yeah,
because my engine is not supposed to sound like that. And, you know, people are walking around like full of hot air and farting and burping and stuff like that. And they go to the doctor and they just get, you know, Gaviscon or take some Tums or a proton pump inhibitor. And, you know, that's a Band-Aid. That's a Band-Aid. You should fire your mechanic at that point, because he didn't do the right job. So now we get into the guts, and as long as the north end of nutrition is functioning, usually the south end should just purr. But if the south end isn't purring, and there was a lot of mess in the to begin with, and you haven't dealt with this over the years, now you're going to need a cleanup. So you're going to need to throw in some anti-infectives, okay? And this could be anywhere from garlic capsules to oil of oregano capsules, and a probiotic, and you know, digestive enzymes if you need it, but you're probably going to need some type of cleanup. Okay. You might need a parasite cleanse. So wormwood, black walnut, cloves. You might need the berberine herbs, olive leaf extract, pau d'arco. So that's specific to more like yeast fungus. And so you want to throw all these in there to get the guts cleaned out. And then when you get the guts cleaned out, what you got to do is you got to go heal up the mess, because they cause a lot of damage. And so this is where phenomenons like leaky gut comes in, okay, where these bugs over time have kind of grown roots and perforated the intestine, and they've caused a lot of damage. And I know we're talking about IBS today, but if you read the work of Lita Matman, she wrote a book called Stealth Pathogens, and she's actually a world-renowned like microbiologist. She has seen 99.95 cases of Crohn's colitis and IBS have some type of weird and wonderful infection in their guts that needs to be cleaned up. But then you get it cleaned up, and then you got to heal up the damage.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just a matter of someone saying, oh yes, I have leaky gut, I'm going to go on a leaky gut protocol. Again, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about this. And my favorite saying in class was what? That mathematical equation, bed mass.
Which
we
one?
Talked a lot about bed mass, where you have to do brackets, exponents, division, multiplication, addition, subtraction. It needs to be done in order get the proper outcome, just like a math.
I felt like we talked a lot about the four R's.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the four R's or the four R strategy, but it also needs to be done in the correct order.
Yeah.
And so what is the correct order? Well, that is client dependent.
Yeah.
So the order that I would work with you in would not be the same order, perhaps, that I would work with some of the viewers on. It all is client dependent. So, you know, if someone's wondering, well, Jennifer, like, where do I start? It's different for everybody. It depends on what's going on. You know what I mean?
And that's why I think it's so important that we're having this conversation, because a lot of people don't realize this. And it sounds so intricate, but it's really just you're explaining all the possibilities that it could be. And that's why it's so important to talk to someone who is a practitioner, because every single person is completely different. We have different genetics. We have different exposure. We have different lifestyles. We have different nutritional habits. Like, there's so many things that we're so beautiful and unique in our own ways. But that's why I always think, you know, the best thing to do is talk to a professional.
Right.
To get the strategy for you.
And even in terms of like dietary recommendations, like for IBS, sometimes I tell people to go more on like an AIP diet, the autoimmune paleo diet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I tell people to go on a zero fiber diet.
Yeah, because this is where
I'm just putting in like soups and stews and bone broths and not a lot of veggies and things like that, because, you know, again, it depends on what we're dealing with here.
Well, and this was one of the biggest, one of the questions that came up actually from one of our holistic nutrition weight loss experts. So she was actually had a client who had IBS, and, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about in terms of eating the balanced diet at FitChicks is also the complete in three. So focusing on protein, like low glycemic carbs that are high in fiber, and healthy fats as the majority of your diet, and then having in some, you know, some more starches or, you know, treats or whatever at 20%, 10 to 20% of the time, if you can handle it. Now,
okay,
her client though was, of course, what we were just talking about when you were saying the no fiber diet, one of the diets that comes up a lot though, if you have IBS, is if you're trying to tell people, well, bulk up on these low glycemic, high fiber veggies, like kale, let's say, or broccoli, a lot of people, that can be causing them a lot of issues if they don't know what else is going on inside of them, right? That could be causing their IBS. So that's where the...
Certainly.
So for the FODMAPs diet, which is the typical kind of go-to, you know, yeah, across, let's say if you're Googling across the internet or talking to most people, when you talk about IBS, you'll see a mixture, a correlation between IBS and the FODMAPs diet. So what is the FODMAPs diet?
So FODMAPs actually stands for, it removes all the saccharides. And in the small intestine, you have the villi, which are the finger-like projections. Mm-hmm. You have the microvilli, which are the little mini finger-like projections, and then you have brush border enzymes. And those brush border enzymes are responsible for breaking down all forms of carbohydrate, mm-hmm, which is a saccharide, okay? So FODMAP stands for fructo-oligo-monosaccharides and polyols. And what the FODMAPs diet does, it's not a healing diet. It is a coping strategy. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you can go on the FODMAPs diet forever and always, and it might help with your symptoms. But again, is it addressing any of the underlying causes that we talked about? It is not. It is just removing all of the offending foods. And I am supportive of removing all the offending foods, because you will never be able to heal a digestive system when you continually, mm-hmm, insult it with, you know, you can't be eating gluten, you cannot be consuming dairy, especially conventional dairy. Raw dairy is a whole nother ball game. You cannot be eating, you know, a standard American diet, you know, crackers and things like that. Shit. When you are trying to heal a gut, you do need to introduce some type of elimination diet, and the FODMAPs is an idea of that. Okay. So is the AIP diet, if you're following the autoimmune paleo. And so definitely you need to have some dietary strategy in there to support what's going on. But then you need to go and you need to include some type of infrastructure underneath that. And that would be where some of the things that we talked about come into play. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where you're kind of going and supporting these digestive issues in the way that it needs to be supported. And so, you know, I'm all for FODMAPs, but FODMAPs unfortunately will never heal IBS. It might help it, but yeah. You know, like on the FODMAPs diet, you're not allowed to eat an onion. Well, I'm sorry, but the onion is not the offender. A healthy gut should be able to digest an onion. Yeah. And a healthy gut should be able to digest a disaccharide, you know, like maple syrup or things like that. It should not be causing you angst. Mm-hmm. And so if it does, you still know that there's an issue that you haven't addressed. Okay.
I love it. See, this is why I bring you on, because it opens it up to what are the Band-Aid solutions? And what are the bigger picture things that we need to be doing, we need to be understanding, to even look for? So that's why I'm so happy that we're talking about this.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
I hope I didn't freeze there. I also want to, for anyone who's watching this, if you're wondering why my eye looks like this, I was not punched in the face. I have a stitch underneath my eye. I got a little lump removed. I always forget, because we're doing the podcast. I'm like, oh, wait, we also have the video. And I'm like, and now I look like a hockey player. I am Canadian, but.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm so happy. So in terms of resources then, if somebody now has listened to this and is like, okay, I'm overloaded with so much information, I don't even know where to start.
Help.
Yeah, what would you recommend that they do? Because so many people, like I said, they're either going to these commercials, taking things like Align, all these, whatever they're marketing for IBS, or they're going straight to FODMAPs. What resources do you recommend?
Certainly using a good probiotic, using a good digestive enzyme, and if somebody, you know, just wants kind of like a quick fix as to what we talk about, what I encourage them to do is bracket their meals.
Okay.
So basically you're going to artificially digest their food in the meantime. And so the way you bracket your meals is you start off every meal with a very high quality Cadillac version of a digestive enzyme, not something $7.99 that you picked up. Okay. Like a very good broad spectrum digestive enzyme. For those of you who are wondering what that might look like, Enzymedica brand has one called Digest Gold, and that's like the Porsche. Okay, so you start off every meal before you even take a bite by putting in a good digestive enzyme. And then you finish off every meal with an amount of hydrochloric acid that would be right for you. And I can't tell you what that is. The human body per meal usually makes about 1500 milligrams per meal of hydrochloric acid. So usually that's about 2 to 3 capsules, depending on the brand that you use. But some people need more. So, you know, some people need to go up to 3,000 milligrams or 4,000 milligrams. And then a really good...
Sorry to interrupt, but that would be something where what you were talking about earlier,
Trying your dose. And for those who are going to try this, you'll know, okay? You'll feel like poop for a little while, because you're going to get some regurgitation. Oh yeah, it'll be burning. Mm-hmm. And then you want to finish off every meal with a probiotic, and it should be a multi-strain probiotic. Okay. And again, you know, you get what you pay for. So you don't want something like Align, which is one strain and 1 billion, especially when you have trillions of bugs in your gut and you have up to 400 strains. One strain isn't going to cut it. You need a multi-strain.
I know. They're all in there.
We want them all in there.
And they all feed off different fibers. Some like pectin, some like inulin.
I know. They're so amazing. And they all live in there and they survive together and they chat and they actually
like
make
thoughts to our brains.
Make natural antibiotics and do all these wonderful things. So, you know, you can get some really good probiotics that are 17 strains. Mm-hmm. And you want to go with a good, like anywhere from 20 to 50 billion. Wow. Or higher, especially if multiple rounds of antibiotics. I mean, I've worked with clients that have been on antibiotics for acne for 5 years, God help them.
Yeah.
You know, and they are a digestive disaster now because of this, and their livers don't look good either, to be honest. And so you definitely want to start off with that. As for diet, I would go back to bare bones. Everything should be very easy to digest. Mm. So I start off, I go back to like possibly FODMAPs if that's what you feel good on. But I want a lot of soups, mm-hmm. stews, like really, really well-cooked broths, a lot of bone broth and things like that. And you're going back to the basics.
Would you do smoothies? Would you recommend smoothies or?
You could, but you got to be careful what you put in.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely with a smoothie, you could put some nice mucilages as seeds in there. Chia, flax are very coating and soothing. Yeah. Some coconut oil in there is great too, provided you have a gallbladder. right.
Provided
you have a gallbladder. And so for breakfast, I like to keep it really, really, if they're not doing dairy, like a coconut kefir and berries. Okay. Mm-hmm. Really easy to digest. If they have an egg sensitivity, then just make a little omelet with egg yolk. Okay. Forget the whites.
Yeah.
And you know, throw a few little veggies in there if you want. And if not, don't worry about it. So I like to go back just to the bare basics of that. I do like to put them on a high quality multi because most people with IBS have multiple nutritional deficiencies at this point. Unfortunately, they've already sought help from the medical system and failed and been put on a antidepressant. And so none of this digestive stuff has been been addressed for a really long time.
Yeah.
So definitely I would start there. And then if you need a gut cleanup, like that could be specific. I can't even give you the recommendations for that. Like if you need some anti-infectives, it kind of needs to be tailored to what's going on and what you find in there, you know? So if it's yeast, your protocol is going to be different. If it's bacterial, your protocol is going to be different. If it's mycoplasma, your protocol is going to be different. If it's parasites. And in terms of these bugs, what the viewers need to understand is that there's a kingdomship. So parasites are the biggest, you know, and then you have like amoeba and you have like flukes and things like that. And so they're the bigger type of bugs. And then you kind of have yeast and fungus and bacterium, which is the kind of mid-range size. And then you get into the mycoplasma, which is halfway between a bacteria and a virus. And they're a little bit of a nightmare to deal with.
Yeah.
And then you get into like the fungus and then you get into virus. So, you know, the anti-infective protocol would be tailored to specifically what we find.
Yeah.
Right. And then you need to address the bowel as well. And so sometimes you need to coat and soothe the bowel. Sometimes you need to activate the bowel. I find that IBS, a lot of the sufferers were not breastfed. And so, they did not, or they were born C-section. And the two issues with those is that if you're born C-section, you don't go down the vaginal canal.
Yeah.
And when a mother is in labor, what the body does is it redirects the bacteria from the intestines and it populates the vagina. And then the baby comes through the vaginal canal and it gets like
intact.
It gets like a bath, right? of mom's bacteria. And so a baby just kind of, you know, kind of cut and pulled out, doesn't get that. So now because of this microbiome project that happened, what they're doing now is physicians have recognized what this microbiome actually determined is that babies who were born via C-section, actually what the bacteria that they found that's in their gut, in the microbiome, was a bacteria that was on the nurse's gloves when the baby was born and they were pulled out of the uterus that way. So like, how do you support good immune system and good bowel movements and stuff like that? You have no chance. And some of the these babies, you know, they needed some type of formula or something like that, unfortunately. So it's like negative, negative here. So what they're doing now for these, currently, if you find a physician that does it, is they're doing vaginal seeding for C-section babies, where they're, sorry for the, I'm very animated. They actually swab the inside of the mother's vagina. And when the baby's born, they take that swab and they're like in the mouth, in the eyes, in the ears, just rubbing it all over the baby. That's called vaginal seeding, so that these children have a chance, you know?
Yeah.
And then if a baby's not breastfed, well, guess what? They don't get colostrum, and colostrum activates the bowels.
Yeah.
And so we talked briefly.
That's the first poop comes.
It is.
The meconium.
Exactly. And we talked briefly about this leaky gut phenomenon. Well, all babies are born with a leaky gut.
Yeah.
And so how do we heal this leaky gut in a baby? Colostrum, mother's milk, feeding the intestinal bacteria with, you know, butyric acid and with lactose. So mother's milk is very high in lactose, and babies they have a lot of lactase. And so, you know, all of this exposure that happens at birth and feeding the child to begin with. So what I find is that very often, in order to activate the bowels, if someone's chronically constipated with IBS, it's actually put in some colostrum. Now, of course, it's
like,
yeah. It's going to be bovine, unfortunately. Okay. So it does come from cows, because no plants make colostrum, unfortunately.
And I don't think there's an industry right now of moms just shooting it out.
You know, we're coming to that, actually, to be honest.
Why?
There's a whole like wet nurse, you know, buy breast milk movement going on, yeah. which is fabulous. Listen, I'm all down for it. And I wish there was something in place when I breastfed my babies. This might be TMI for our viewers, but I had enough milk to feed like 5 babies.
Hire me.
Oh yeah. I could have fed my whole street full of children. They could have just brought their babies to me. So I don't know why. My goodness. But you know, I could have helped other people with this. And you know, mothers who don't have enough breast milk, like, they beat themselves up over this.
Yeah,
and you know, it's because they're educated and they know the importance of it. And of course, it's very upsetting for them. And sometimes it's just not anything that you've done wrong. You know, your hormones are all out of whack, or, you know, you're just too stressed, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you're sleep deprived, you have other children, whatever the case may be. So, you could even use not just a probiotic, you could use colostrum. You can use something called arabinose galactan. That comes from, it's a powder, it comes from the larch tree, and it actually activates the bowels. So there's all these different things that you can do.
Yeah, it's so fascinating.
And then if you've been really stuck for a long time, you're probably going to need a really good colon cleanse. Okay, and this colon cleanse could come in the form of colonics or coffee enemas, or because what you need to do is you need to clean out that impacted fecal matter from the bowel walls
Sorry, that's what your best friend does?
She's a colon hydrotherapist down in Toronto, she's been doing it for, 8-9 years. She's very good at what she does. And this is what she does day in and day out. And I tell you, she's got some good stories of some of the people that come in. I do have to tell you, like, if you can't poop and this impacted fecal matter starts filling the bowel in layers, some people have such chronic problems that they actually start vomiting their bowels. Which means their guts are so full of fecal matter that it comes out the top end. And you've got a problem there, because how do you digest food? How do you get nutrients into you? Yeah. How do you even eat? You know? So, you know, we do really have a chronic problem. And we as practitioners, like, sometimes we see people and it's like, oh, I wish I would have seen them 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, I wish they would have found me, you know, prior to, you know, coming here literally full of shit, you know?
Well, and the thing that's so hard too, is that especially knowing that there's so many things, and this is something you really taught me, is how much we are in control of our health and how much we actually rely so much on this outside world when there's so many simple changes and simple choices that we can make that can have huge impact. And if, like, yeah, you say, if someone came to you 5 years ago, it could have just been, let's make some dietary changes, or, you know, let's just get that stress under control. Whereas when you wait that long and there's that, all that host of building up, the chain is broken in 10 different places now, it's like, where do you start?
Yeah. You know, but, and again, it's, you just start in baby steps. Sometimes you got to start from the top down. Sometimes you got to start from the bottom up. And, you know, it really is different per client, but you know, the what the viewers need to understand is that you are in control. There's so much that you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the power starts on the fork, you know, the way you prepare food, what you're putting in your mouth, the order that you put it in your mouth, mm-hmm, the order that you combine it in. And so, you know, it really does start with, kind of what you put in the mouth, but you know, when you're chronic degenerative and this has gone on for a long time, you might need the help of somebody else, you know?
So being said, then how would somebody get in contact? If somebody's listening, they're like, okay, this totally is like resonating with me. I'm dealing with something that we talked about, 'cause we covered so much ground. How do they get in contact with you? How can they book an appointment with you?
Okay. Well, my website is healnaturally.ca. Mm-hmm. So it is a Canadian-based website. However, I have clients all over the map, anywhere from Iceland to Australia to the UK to Argentina. East Coast, West Coast, doesn't matter. So I do book online consultations. My email is jennifer@healnaturally.ca, and you know, I check my emails and I get hundreds of emails a day, but I try my hardest to answer them within 48 hours. And so those are the two ways that you can get in touch with me. You can also email me right through my website, and I have an online booking system. So if you're wondering, you know, how do you get in touch with me? How would I book an appointment? I have like a book now widget, and it takes you to my online calendar with all my availability, appointment availability. And I do work day. I work evening.
No, you're the hardest working person I know in this industry. I'm not even joking.
Well, I do have, it is my passion. However, I like to eat dinner and stuff like that too. But I do work evenings as well. But you know, as an entrepreneur, we're the only, workers who work 80 hours, so we don't have to work 40.
I know. I know.
that was a quote I heard on Dragon's Den. I'm like, wow.
Wait, that's me.
She understands the entrepreneur. You know, we hustle so we don't have a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. But I also think that your mission has always been bigger than this. And I've known that from the moment I met you. You have such a passion to help other people heal, to educate other people on being in control of their own health. And I think that's what really fuels you. And it always comes across every time we talk, every time you talk to a student or you talk to a client, like, you're coming from a place where you're making huge impact, and you should be super proud of the work you're doing. Because I'm like super, honestly, I'm super blessed. I'm so emotional. I get all like emotional all the time, but I'm just super blessed to have you in my life and also to be able to introduce you to other people. Because if anyone's listening and you are dealing with any health issues, seriously, Jen is the person to talk to as a natural practitioner. Like, hands down, you are the number one person I recommend above all else.
Oh, thank you, lovely.
Yes. And also from our website, we will have the links too, where we have this video posted and the podcast posted. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Google Play or somewhere else, if you go to our website, fitchexacademy.com, under the podcast tab, we'll have links to all of Jen's information too under there. Because I just think we need to start getting more people the help they need, as opposed to feeling frustrated like they're in a losing game all the time.
Right. Right. I understand. And that's why, that's your mission. That's my mission. So that's why we align.
I know. Okay. So then we're going to end this with, I always like to end with the question. If you could give women one piece of advice that would help them live healthier, happier, fiercer, it could be to what we talked about today. It could just be a life lesson in general. What would it be today? I think I've asked you this three times, but.
Oh my goodness. One piece of advice.
Just one.
You know what? Especially for women, the most important thing is, I like to use the cupful analogy. Women, they give so much of themselves all the time, to the point where their cup is empty. And my one thing, one piece of advice that I always give to a woman is, you cannot share anything in your cup if your cup is empty. And so taking care of the caregiver should always be a number one priority, and putting yourself sometimes first before your children or your spouse or your dog or the neighbor or somebody else that you're trying to help. And taking the time out for you is going to be important and key. And I always say, you know, this is very empowering, and it's very important in order for you to share a piece of yourself.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So that's my one piece of daily advice.
I love it. And I love you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm really excited to get this up. And of course, if you want more information, like I said, we're going to be posting everything for Jen's website, but it's healnaturally.ca for Jen. And then if you want any information about our upcoming Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Program or any Fit Chicks Academy programs, you can check that out at fitchicksacademy.com.
Yay!
Okay. Well, till next time, beauty, I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye peeps.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.